Mars Incorporated, makers of America's most enjoyable candy bars, present...
Curtain Time!
Of Milky Way candy bars welcome you to Curtain Time. Another capacity crowd fills the lobby this evening, everyone eager for the new play. And here, as you might expect at an opening night, is the well-known man about town, your host, Patrick Allen.
Good evening.
Is it true, Mr. Allen, that tonight's play is about college life?
It is, John, but I'm sure your college days were never like this. There's the overture, however, so we'd better hurry inside the theater for tonight's production of Curtain Time.
Tickets, please. Thank you, sir. Seventh row center, seats 7 and 8.
Well, we have our usual excellent seats. But let's glance through the program before the lights are dim. Harry Elders and Nanette Sargent, supported by the Milky Way players, are starred tonight in Time Out for Tea. Mr. Elders plays the part of Rugged O'Shea, and Miss Sargent is cast as Frances Kitteridge.
Curtain Time!
There's the call for the first act of Time Out for Tea. The scene is the anteroom outside the office of the president of Crestwood College for Women. A very attractive young lady is about to knock on the president's door.
Come in.
You sent for me, Dr. Blake.
Yes, yes. Yes, I did. Please have a chair. No, not that one. This one.
Thank you. But, Dr. Blake, you seem to be very upset.
Upset? Upset? I certainly am upset.
Well, is something wrong?
Indeed, something is wrong. My goodness me, I've never been so disturbed during my whole career as president of Crestwood College for Women.
Oh, dear me.
Oh, do you know what has occurred on our fair campus?
Well, from the way you're acting, Dr. Blake, I'm sure it's nothing short of a catastrophe.
Exactly. For the first time in the history of this institution, mind you, for the first time, we are to have a man enrolled as a member of the student body.
A man?
That's precisely what I said. A man.
But that's impossible. There are regulations. The trustees won't permit it.
Oh, that's what I thought, too. But one trustee, Mr. P.J. O'Shea, insists on it.
P.J. O'Shea?
Yes.
The Hook and Eye King who gave us the money for the new administration building?
Yes, the Hook and Eye King. His son will matriculate here first thing Monday morning.
Oh, but Dr. Blake, can't we say that it's too late for him to enroll? After all, this is November.
Yes,
and...
but he happens to be an ex-GI. And his father is P.J. O'Shea. Father is P.J. O'Shea. He has also promised to make up the work he's missed.
Well, it looks as though you're stuck.
And so are you, Dean Kitteridge.
Me? I mean, I...
The Hook and Eye Crown Prince plans to enroll in Sociology 132.
But that's my course in courtship, marriage, and the family.
Yes, Dean Kitteridge, I know.
But, Dr. Blake, I refuse to have him in that class. And if you or the Board of Trustees insist, I shall resign.
Resign? Oh, you can't do that.
I certainly can.
Now, Dean Kitteridge, we mustn't be rash. You're the most brilliant member of the Crestwood faculty, you know. You have a great career ahead of you.
Dr. Blake, you know very well that although I'm only 26... I took this position as dean and professor of sociology because, well, I wish to live in an atmosphere totally devoid of men.
Well, I... after all, Dean Kitteridge, I am a man.
I'm sure you'll understand what I mean, Dr. Blake. But if this Hook and Eye person...
Well, won't you give it a try, my dear? After all, he may not like it here.
Oh, come, Dr. Blake. Let's not fool ourselves. One man surrounded by 300 girls? He can't help but like it.
Well, I see what you mean.
How old is he?
26.
Hmm.
Just your age.
Yes.
You see, Dean Kitteridge, this is really a great challenge, a real test of your character.
Do you think my character needs testing?
Oh, no, my dear. But as I see it, well, it's you and Crestwood against this intruder.
And suppose I refuse to have him in my class?
Oh, please, Dean Kitteridge, let's not even contemplate anything so disastrous.
You mean that the young man's father would...
Oh, yes. Yes, he would. Definitely.
Very well, Dr. Blake. I accept the challenge.
Oh, that's splendid, splendid.
You must understand, however, I'm doing this only because I love Crestwood.
Of course, of course, of course. Oh, I knew you wouldn't let us down.
Now, the young man's name, Dr. Blake.
Well, it's a very peculiar name, Dean Kitteridge. He's called Rugged O'Shea.
Rugged?
Yes, Dean Kitteridge. Rugged.
Mr. O'Shea, class has been dismissed. Everyone has left, and I must get back to my office.
I know, teacher, but, well, I've been having trouble with my homework again.
That's because you entered so late in the semester.
Oh, sure, but I figured that, well, maybe if we could be alone, you might be able to give me some special attention.
Oh, very well. What's the matter?
You mind if I pull up a chair, Dean?
Well, of course not. But, Mr. O'Shea.
What?
I'd appreciate it if you'd stop staring at me like that.
I was just looking at your eyes. I think they're beautiful.
Whether they are or not, Mr. O'Shea, is entirely a matter of opinion.
Sure, and that's my opinion.
Oh, really?
You know, Prof, I've been sitting here in this classroom for a whole month now, and I keep telling myself, there's a dame.
A dame?
There, I say, is a dame with plenty on the ball, if she'd only give me a tumble.
Mr. O'Shea, exactly what is your problem?
Well, I've been wondering about the relationship between a teacher and student.
But...
You know, especially when their ages are just about the same.
Oh, good heavens.
Yeah, now take you and me, for instance, from the point of view of sociology, of course.
Mr. O'Shea, if you wish to consult me, you must do so on a strictly impersonal basis.
Oh, come, teacher, you're in a rut.
Now, you see here, Mr. O'Shea. Ever since you came to Crestwood, you've done nothing but upset the entire institution.
Me?
Yes, you. Why did you ever come here, anyway?
You really want to know?
I asked you, didn't I?
Okay, Prof. This will kill you. You see, I spent 3 long years on a coral reef in the Pacific, no bigger than this campus.
Well?
Keep your shirt on, Dean.
Why?
Well, I didn't see a woman all during those 3 years, so I swore that when I got home, I'd be surrounded with women. Short ones, fat ones, tall ones, skinny ones. And also women like you. Beautiful, that is.
Mr. O'Shea, you're being vulgar.
Oh, am I? Or are you just being pretty stuffy about the whole thing?
Really, Mr. O'Shea, you don't know the least thing about me.
But I know your type.
My type?
Sure. You're the career girl. You start out young. You get to be a success early in life. And you pack your emotions away in mothballs and forget you're a woman.
Why, you... I won't stand for such impertinence. I won't.
Well, that's tough.
You forget that it's my life.
That's right. And what are you going to have at the end of it? Just some stone-cold ashes, that's all.
Mr. O'Shea...
You'll be sitting in a rocking chair, and the only company you'll have will be an old tabby cat.
You get out of here this minute, you Neolithic wolf.
Oh, gee, you look beautiful when you're mad.
I told you to leave.
All right. I didn't think you could take it. But it sure is a laugh, you teaching a course in courtship, marriage, and the family. I'll bet you're afraid to go out with a man.
That's not true.
Okay, teacher, it's a date.
Oh, I didn't take.
I'll call for you at 8 sharp, and don't be late.
Oh, but Mr. O'Shea...
I hate dames that keep guys waiting.
Mr. O'Shea, there's one thing I want you to understand.
Oh, I do understand one thing, Professor.
I'm permitting you to take me driving because I wish to correct any impression you may have that I'm straight-laced.
Gee, your hair is beautiful.
I'll admit that I have led a secluded life. As a member of the Crestwood faculty, there are certain traditions I must uphold.
I like the sound of your voice, too.
Well, this conversation is like 2 parallel lines.
You mean those 2 parallel lines that never meet?
Except in infinity, Mr. O'Shea.
And that reminds me, can't we cut out this Mr. O'Shea stuff? You call me Rugged, and I'll call you Franny.
My name is Francis, not Franny.
Okay, Franny, whatever you say.
But I just told you that... Why are we slowing down here?
You see the sign up ahead?
You don't mean that we're going to stop at the little casino?
Sure we are. It's the hottest spot in the whole county, and you and I are going to dance.
But I can't be seen in there.
Look, Franny, you just relax and forget you're a dean. I'm going to show you how the other half lives. Well, now, if we can just get a table, or maybe I should say if we can just get the head waiter to look at us.
Honestly, Rugged,
oh, come on, teacher. You're human, too, remember?
Well, just for tonight.
Ah, that's it. Now you're on the beam.
Well, I'll try to... Ruckert.
What?
That man there in the cloakroom.
Where?
He's pointing a gun this...
Franny! Franny! Speak to me, Franny!
Tonight's Curtain Time play, starring Harry Elders and Anna Sargent as the Milky Way player. And here is John Weigel.
As years go by, some little treats which we particularly enjoy become traditional. Treats like the delightful taste of a Milky Way candy bar, for example. You begin to enjoy a Milky Way the moment you first open the crisp wrapper and recognize that enticing scent of fine, pure milk chocolate. Then with each bite, your teeth sink through the thick milk chocolate coating, the golden layer of smooth, creamy caramel, and the rich chocolate nougat center, abundantly flavored with real malted milk. All melt together in each enjoyable mouthful to give you that rare taste blend found only in a Milky Way. When you crave good candy, eat a Milky Way. Here's the call for the second act of Time Out for Tea, brought to you by the Milky Way Players. Having persuaded Francis Kitteridge, his sociology professor, to go dancing with him, Rugged O'Shea was struck with terror as two shots were fired and Franny dropped to the floor. It's now a moment after the close of Act Two at the Little Casino.
Franny, speak to me. Are you all right?
Yes, I guess I fainted. But... Oh, Rugged, that man on the floor...
He's as dead as he'll ever be.
Oh, dear me, why did I...
Look, beautiful, this isn't the time for postmortems.
Postmortems? Rugged, if the police find us standing next to this corpse, we can't let them question us. We've got to get out of here.
But fast, teacher.
Where are we going?
I think we can make it out through this side door.
Oh, I hope so.
Then shake a pretty leg, Professor. I'm told it's not good form for the Dean of Crestwood to be found at the little casino with a very dead man. Now, watch this there.
I see it.
My car's right over this way.
Oh, listen... They're the police.
It's not the Whistler and his dog.
It's no use, Rugged. We've got to face it.
Oh, don't be silly.
But I refuse to be a fugitive from justice.
Hop in the car, good-looking, and please shut that pretty trap of yours.
Oh, Rugged, please try to drive more carefully.
Take it easy, Dean. You're just as safe as you'd be at home reading The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire.
Oh, but that last curve...
Well, here comes another. Hold on to your bustle.
Honestly, you and your atrocious...
We made it, Gorgeous, and I think we've given them the slip.
Then what are those headlights doing in back of it?
Oh, I didn't notice.
It's the police, Rugged.
How do you know?
I just know it is. I'll never be able to face Dr. Blake.
You know, I don't think those headlights belong to the police.
You don't?
Uh-huh.
Oh, then we've nothing to worry about.
If that were a police car, its siren would be wide open. But we've still got trouble.
Well, whoever it is, he's gaining on us.
So I notice. You know, Franny, I don't like to be the sort who spoils all the fun.
Yes?
The guy in that car might just happen to be our killer friend.
But why would he be following us?
Oh, he might like to have a chat.
A chat?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because he may know that we saw him commit a little murder.
Oh, dear. Rugged, turn left at the next crossroad.
Okay, but why?
My Aunt Penelope lived there.
Hey, that's swell. We've got a haven of refuge.
And so far, the car that was following us hasn't turned off the road back there.
I sure hope Aunt Penny's home.
Of course she is. Aunt Penny's not the kind who gads about at night.
Who is it out there?
It's Francis, Aunt Penny.
Francis?
Yes, please let us in.
Maybe we need a pass.
Francis, you're all out of breath.
Oh, yes, Aunt Penny.
Come in, child. I was just listening to some boogie-woogie.
Okay, fugitive, inside.
Why, there's a young man with you.
We're being pursued.
Pursued?
Yeah, we've got a torpedo on our tail.
What? Rugged, please. This is no time for joking. Oh, pardon me, Aunt Penny. This is Mr. O'Shea.
How do you do?
Hello.
Mr. O'Shea is a student at Crestwood.
Oh, child, you must be confused. Crestwood is a girls' college.
Well, you'll see.
Things move awfully fast nowadays.
Oh, dear me, dear me. This is all so mixed up. Suppose we just sit down while you tell me all about this.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this broadcast to bring you an important announcement.
Oh, goodness me, now what?
Buck Anderson, notorious underworld character, was killed a few minutes ago at the little casino.
Oh.
Easy, teacher.
After questioning several of the club's patrons, police are of the opinion that Anderson was murdered by a man and a woman who were seen fleeing the scene of the crime.
Murder and crime? That's all
the
one ever sees.
Don't turn around.
As an attractive blonde about 5 feet tall and weighing 100 pounds.
Why, that's me. You.
The man was of average height and, according to witnesses, was very good looking.
That's me, all right.
Oh, really?
Citizens are warned to notify the police immediately if they see
I guess we better turn this thing off.
Francis, my dear, I just don't understand.
Oh, Aunt Teddy, they think I'm a murderer. I, Dean of Crestwood College for Women.
Now, don't let it get you down, Dean. She's a bit upset, Mrs.
It's not Mrs., young man. It's Miss. Miss Penelope Talbot of the Boston Talbot. Although I moved away from Boston many years ago.
Oh, Aunt Teddy, at a time like this.
Oh, a good cry will do you good, my dear. Don't you agree, young man?
Look, Aunt Penny, we're in a jam. Franny and I are the two they suspect of knocking off this Anderson character.
Well, you might have, of course.
Oh, sure.
But Francis, oh, that child wouldn't harm a fly. I remember one summer when we had the house at Marblehead.
Oh, good heavens. Here I am face to face with the electric chair and you two sit there in chairs.
Now, wait a minute, beautiful. We haven't done anything wrong. Get a grip on yourself and I'll straighten this out before...
You straighten it out. If it hadn't been for you, I'd still be a respectable member of the Crestwood faculty. But no, you had to establish a beachhead on the campus.
Why?
You had to...
Francis, is that any way to talk to a young man?
Boy, look at the fire in her eyes.
If I weren't a lady, I'd...
Oh, heavens to Betsy, the way young people behave nowadays.
Yeah, she's wonderful, isn't she?
Oh!
Mind if I use the phone, Aunt Penny?
No, no, go right ahead.
See here, what are you doing now?
Something sensible. Oh, come on, operator. Get a wiggle on.
Gertrude is always a little slow. She's probably reading a detective story.
I ask you what you're doing.
Boy, I'm calling the police. I want them to come out here so that we can explain everything. Put that book down, Gertie. You'll ruin your eyes.
When you get the police, young man, ask for Officer Appleby. He's so nice. As a matter of fact, Francis used to live across the street from the Applebys at one time.
Is that you, Gertie? Well, get me the police. Oh, don't worry, Gertie. Everything will be all right.
Oh, dear. Gertrude does worry, sir.
Hello? Police station? Yeah, well, look, I wish you'd send somebody out to... Hey, where are we?
Just say the old Talbot place. They'll know.
It's the old Talbot place, officer. Yes, and make it snappy, because I might have some valuable dope for you on the Anderson killing.
Are they coming?
Yep, they'll be here in half a second. By jet propulsion.
Oh, thank goodness. Well, now, in that case, I'll make some tea. There's nothing like a cup of hot tea.
Well, Aunt Penny's quite a kid. A little on the Gabby side.
Aunt Penny's a perfect dear. Her mind may wander a little.
Oh, but I love the old girl. I mean it.
Yes, indeed. And now that you've ruined my entire career, I certainly hope you're satisfied.
Look, Franny, the cops will be here in a few minutes, and
just
then
think what the front pages of the newspaper will look like tomorrow morning.
Would you rather have your picture in the paper or be tossed in the clink for murder?
Oh, honestly, you imbecile.
That's me, but you do sort of like me, don't you?
I hate you. I wish I'd never seen you.
Oh, that must be the police, huh?
Well, open the door for me.
I am, and remember, keep calm and let your Uncle Rugged do the talking. Well, come in, officer. Oh, a plainclothesman, huh? As well.
Reach, chum, huh?
Rugged, that gun...
You too, sister. Put him up.
Now, look...
Now, you look, sonny boy. I got an itchy finger
and... But we thought...
I know, you thought you'd give me the slip. But you can't lose Flash Osgood like that.
Rocket, this man isn't a police officer.
No, Professor. Our little playmate here is what is known in underworld circles as a torpedo. A killer, that is.
Before we bring you the third act of tonight's Curtain Time play, starring Harry Elders and Nanette Sargent with the Milky Way players, here is John Weigel.
The next time you pick up a Milky Way candy bar at your favorite candy counter, you will have a truly delightful candy treat in store for you. For every bite of a Milky Way is luscious. From the moment you first taste the thick milk chocolate coating, the golden layer of smooth, creamy caramel, and the soft chocolate nougat center, richly flavored with real malted milk. Together, the milk chocolate, creamy caramel, and soft nougat make every bite of a Milky Way a thrilling treat. right down to the last delightful flavor that lingers in your mouth. When you crave good candy, eat a Milky Way. The call to the third act of Time Out for Tea, brought to you by the Milky Way Players. Expecting the police to come to Aunt Penny's house, Rugged O'Shea and Francis Kittredge were surprised by a gunman named Flash Osgood. A moment later, the three are still talking.
Mr. Osgood, that gun, if you'll please stop pointing it at us.
Don't be silly, babe.
Look, there must be some way we can settle this.
There is.
Well, then?
A nice long ride in the country.
But for the love of Pete, we haven't done anything.
It ain't what you've done, it's what you've seen. You two know too much.
You talk pretty big with that gun in your hand.
Sure. Why not?
Rugged, he's going to kill us.
Now, take it easy, darling.
Okay, you two. Now stay frozen in your tracks. I want to see if this coast is clear.
Oh, if the police would only get here.
Maybe we can stall them a little.
Come on, let's scram. And don't get no fancy ideas, because Flash Osgood don't could, see?
Well, goodness gracious, we have another guest. How nice, just in time for a cup of tea. Francis, child, why are you waving your arms like that? Sit down, dear.
Well...
Who's the old babe?
My aunt. She doesn't know what's happening.
Mr. O'Shea, must you keep on reaching for the ceiling? I set the cobwebs down yesterday.
Aunt Penny.
Is no one going to introduce me to this young man? Dear me, what's happened to everybody's manners?
Well...
Knock me down, dirty old lady.
Well, Aunt Penny, this is Mr. Flash.
Mr. Flash? Oh, why, what a cute name, Mr. Flash. One or two lumps?
Well, could you spare four?
Four?
Yeah, it kills the taste of that stuff.
There you are, Mr. Flash.
Thanks.
Now, Mr. O'Shea, how many lumps do you take?
Aunt Penny, if you don't mind, I don't want any tea.
Neither do I.
Oh, there's nothing like a good cup of tea there. Now, take it.
Oh, all right.
It'll do you good.
Thanks.
And now, Francis.
Hey, look, lady, I've drank me tea, and now we're all going for a little spin. And that means you too, Grandma.
Oh, why, that would be wonderful. I haven't been out of the house all week.
No, Aunt Penny.
You'd better stay here.
She's coming with us.
Of course. What do you think I am, an old stick in the mud? But you'll catch cold.
Yes, it's damp out.
You keep out of this, smart guy.
Precisely, Mr. O'Shea. If Mr. Flash is nice enough to invite me to go for a ride, I'm going. Of course, you and I will ride in the front seat, won't we, Mr. Flash?
Yeah. Hey, what's the matter? Everything's going around and around. And I'm so sleepy,
he's going to fall.
Franny, he's out like a light.
Maybe he had a heart attack.
No, he didn't. He'll be all right.
But how did...
I put some sleeping tablets in his tea, that's all.
Oh, Aunt Penny, you're wonderful.
I'll say. But how did you know?
By listening at the keyhole. Besides, I don't go to the movies once a week for nothing. Oh. That man is a gangster.
Yeah. If it hadn't been for you... I'm dizzy, too.
Oh, Rugged, look out. You're going, young man, alone. Oh, but Aunt Penny, he... Rugged... Look, Aunt Penny, he's passed out, too,
like a light. But he... I know, my dear. He's the trigger man.
Oh, but he's not.
No, child. You mustn't contradict your elders. Then you doped his tea, too.
Oh, I gave him a double dose. He's so much bigger than the other one. But suppose you've killed him.
Oh, I don't think I have. Have I?
Oh, Rugged, say something, Rugged. Please don't die.
Why, Francis, you sound very much as though you're in love with that young man. Oh, dear me, now who can that be?
Please.
Oh, everything has to happen at the same time. Now I'm sure it's too late for the paper boy. Okay.
Evening, Miss Talbot.
Oh, Officer Appleby, yes. I'm so glad you're here. Do come in.
Well, thank you, ma'am. Evening, Miss Francis. Haven't seen you in... Why, bless my soul. Looks like you got a couple of corpses putting up the sitting room here.
They're not dead, Officer Appleby. But they've got to be taken to a hospital right away.
Well, if you say so. But what's this got to do with the Anderson killing?
There's your murderer.
Him?
No, the other one.
Oh.
Won't you please hurry? I can explain everything on the way. But right now we haven't a minute to lose.
Come in. Hello, beautiful.
Oh, Rugged. I've been waiting for almost 6 hours. The doctor finally said I could come in.
You didn't think I'd kick off, did you? After all, I didn't get to be called rugged playing ping pong.
I know, but Aunt Penny should never have...
Look, Professor, no cracks about my favorite old lady. Besides, this is all my fault. I never should have got you into it.
Well, that doesn't matter. Not now.
She's going to be publicity teacher. Doc Blake won't like that.
But I tell you, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't?
No. I've finally come to realize that I can't run away from life by hiding behind a college campus.
Well, you won't have to worry about me anymore. I'm leaving school.
Oh, but Rugged...
What is it?
Well, Rugged, I've been thinking... I don't want ashes for memories. I don't want to wind up with a rocking chair and an old tabby cat.
No?
No.
Well, maybe we could do something about that.
But how?
Well, I did manage to learn a few things in your class in courtship, marriage, and the family, and perhaps we could...
Oh, Rugged, darling. Well, you're the most wonderful student I've ever had.
Oh, darling.
Oh, goodness me, I had the most difficult time getting... Oh, dear. I didn't mean to intrude. But...
That's all right, Aunt Penny.
Sure, you're our favorite aunt.
Why, then you mean that...
We do.
Check.
Oh, that's splendid. Here. I have something for you, young man.
Oh, that's swell. But what is it?
I'll put it right here on the table. It's a nice pot of hot tea.
The curtain falls on the last act of Time Out for Tea. Another curtain time play brought to you by the makers of Milky Way Candy Bar. Tonight, curtain time stars Harry Elders as Rugged O'Shea and Nanette Sargent as Frances Kitteridge. Virginia Payne was heard as Aunt Penny, and Sidney Ostrom played the role of President Blake. Donald Gallagher was Flash Osgood, and George Caesar was the announcer. The music for the Curtain Time Orchestra is arranged and conducted by Bert Barber. And now a word about next Saturday's show.
Well, Pat, it's all very legal.
Legal? Mm-hmm. What do you mean, Harry?
He means that we're both lawyers.
Oh, I see. Blackstone and Portia join hands.
Something like that, Pat.
Except that it's all very funny and very romantic.
Yes, and it's called The Feminine Touch.
Well, you've certainly aroused my interest. Thanks and good night, Nanette Sargent and Harry Elder.
Good night,
good
Pat.
Night.
Now I'll join this gay theater crowd as it leaves the merchandise mart. Many on their way to the exciting after theater spots here in Chicago. Until next week, then, this is Patrick Allen reminding you of your date every Saturday, same time, same station, when the makers of Milky Way Candy Bars present...
Curtain Time!
Mars Incorporated brings you two great shows over NBC. On Monday night, be sure to hear Dr. IQ, the Mental Banker. And next Saturday, be with us again for Curtain Time. Remember, when you crave good candy, eat a Milky Way. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.